This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:14 now on this April 1st, April Fool's Day. Be aware of that. Erin Holmes joins us now, Executive Director of the View Cray Property Owners, Residents, and Associates. Good morning, Erin. How are you?
Doing well, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm good. Have you ever pulled any April Fool's pranks or been the victim of any?
I think I'm often the victim of them before I pull them.
One time I thought it would be funny to tell my mom years and years and years ago that my then wife was pregnant, and she started crying. She was so happy and excited, and I realized at that point that I'd made a tremendous mistake, that it was not funny. It was a stupid thing to do on April 1st, and that was probably the worst thing that I've ever done on April 1st.
That's terrible.
Well, you know what? I realize that now. Erin, at the time, I realize that now, but at the time, I didn't. Let's talk about thanks for telling me that, though. Thanks for telling me that's pretty terrible, because I haven't beat myself up enough over these years for it. Thanks, Erin, for piling on. I'm just kidding.
Sorry, Tommy.
No, I'm just kidding. Tell me first about the meeting that happened last week about the Bourbon Street security and so forth. And was any new information gleaned from that?
Well, actually, no, but we didn't really expect any new information. So we hosted it. We actually partnered up with NOPD to host a town hall style meeting about the Bourbon Street security plan. And really what we wanted to do was get stakeholders in the room that had not gotten to talk to NOPD about some of these preliminary plans. So we didn't anticipate learning anything new. We just thought that we were going to get a little bit more information for the crowd, so to speak.
What was the meeting like, and what did you hear, and what did people have to say?
Well, it was very well attended. We thought maybe we'd get about 100 people, but it was standing room only. I think there were at least 250 people there, and it was a really good mix of residents and business owners and workers and a lot of street performers as well. So Everybody was kind of operating on concern for what they had heard. So we were really hoping that we were going to get some actionable items, but we're still waiting for the final recommendation from the consulting firm Teneo, and that information has not been made public.
I was going to ask you about that, because at first, I think Freddie King had released a statement saying that it was going to be there. Then they said they weren't going to present it. Do you know when that's supposed to come out?
I don't know. I know that it has been completed, and it has been given over to the Police and Justice Foundation, which commissioned it. But from there, and in terms of who gets to see it, who gets to analyze it, how it's going to be released to the public, I don't know.
So when it comes to what the people at the meeting had to say, A, do you think it was representative of the quarter as a whole? And secondly, what were some of the things that they wanted to see or didn't want to see?
I would definitely say it was pretty representative of the diverse stakeholders that are in the French Quarter. You know, residents were very concerned that any permanent solutions, so to speak, would, you know, increase traffic or congest the traffic grid. We would lose parking, necessary parking, access to our homes, or there'd be, you know, a concentration of larger vehicles more in the residential end, things that would have come out of, you know, maybe a 24/7 pedestrian mall or closure for Bourbon Street. Mm-hmm. And also a rumor had started, and I'm not sure the level of truth to it, that if Bourbon Street were converted into a full pedestrian mall, then they would close the Royal Street pedestrian mall, which really fired up a lot of the street performers and musicians, because they use that area as a frequent busking location. And so I think it was an opportunity for the public that has not been engaged yet to get into the room to ask questions and voice concerns.
Tell me about the Royal Street Pedestrian Mall.
The Royal Street Pedestrian Mall is frequently used as street performers, so from 11 to 4 p.m. daily, it is closed to vehicular traffic. And so you'll see a lot of street performers, specifically over the corner at Rouse's. Street performers are often grouped around there, and they get larger crowds. And the pedestrian mall has been in effect for decades, really, but it was definitely during the time of COVID and also following the Hard Rock collapse. It was the hours of it were changed, and it was open most of the time. But most recently, it has been closed.
And we're talking about between where and where, Aaron?
Oh, let's see. Royal Street Pedestrian Mall runs from Orleans Avenue basically through the canal. So, but your pedestrian mall activity is probably going to happen mostly between Royal and, say, Conti.
I got you. I was not aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go. Maybe I should go more often. What about the split between businesses and residents? Was there a disagreement as between those two groups, or did they see things the same?
Well, I mean, I think there was a level of disagreement between stakeholders only because different stakeholders have different needs. But I would say that what I heard were mostly that we do need to increase safety, and we need to ensure safety for, you know, everybody in the French Quarter, visitors and locals alike, but we also can't compromise what it means to be an actual neighborhood. So the businesses were saying, how do I get my deliveries? How do I get my employees to my businesses? The residents were saying, how do I maintain access to my home? And the industry workers and street performers are saying, how do I get to where I need to go to work?
Mm-hmm.
So basically it was, yes, we need to increase safety, and we need to find the best implementation of that, but still the French Quarter has to function.
And you're saying the Royal Street Pedestrian Mall, just so I got you right, runs from where to where?
I was saying it starts at Orleans Avenue and it heads upriver. I don't know where the final barricade is, but it's heading towards Canal. But usually about 5 blocks of Royal Street from 11 to 4 p.m., daily, maybe even longer hours on the weekends, are closed to vehicular traffic.
I had no idea. You taught me something. All right, we'll take a break, pick it up when we come back. Talking to Aaron Holmes, our friend, executive director of the Vieux-Carré Property Owners, Residents, and Associates, talking about some of the proposals that have been made. We'll also talk about the Teneo proposal when that's expected. 721 traffic now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on his Tuesday morning, April 1st, back with Aaron Holmes, executive director of the Vieux-Carré Property Owners, Residents, and Associates. Aaron, I'm just going back to my April Fool's joke that I pulled and you said, and I quote, wow, that's terrible.
Maybe that was a little harsh.
No. I don't think it was harsh at all. I think I deserved it, and it just brought back all the memories of making my mom cry and being stupid. Somebody texted and said that Royal Street is closed between Conti and Orleans. That is, as it stands now, a pedestrian mall between when and when?
I want to say 11 to 4 p.m., but
and the concern,
you know, there's always room for error.
And the concern was that if Bourbon Street should become a pedestrian mall, that they would have to open Royal Street because otherwise that would be too much pedestrian mall?
I think so. But again, I said that was an unverified rumor, but it definitely mobilized individuals that, you know, perform on that strip or businesses on that strip to come out and make their voices heard.
So do we know when the report from Teneo is going to be released? And then what happens from that point?
No, we don't know when it's going to be released. That's really a timetable that's up to the administration and NOPD. But I think the big question is what then? You know, so we're going to get a set of recommendations that the city leaders can choose some or all of. But then there's going to be a process of how to implement. So I spoke about the two pedestrian malls, Bourbon Street and Royal. Those were created through a city council ordinance. And so if they're going to be amended, it has to go through the city council. And we've heard from the administration that that she can implement things through her various administrative departments. But then there's also NOPD. But I think that nothing's going to change overnight, because if you look at other cities that have done major pedestrianization projects, it takes a lot of resources. It takes a lot of logistics for implementation. It takes money and it takes time. So what I think we have right now, which are temporary barricades that are on loan to NOPD, you know, we're going to look to see how do we harden or make those barricades a little bit more permanent, but nothing's going to happen overnight. It's just, it's too much resource management. So I think it's very clear that we are not going to get the level of personnel security that we've had for the past couple of months. So we are going to need to implement something that doesn't require that manpower, but how it's going to work and how long it's going to take remain up in the air.
Give me a snapshot of today and a quarter as opposed to January 2nd and a quarter.
Well, we're gearing up for festival season. So January 2nd and the quarter was, it was a pretty terrible time to be in the quarter. It was a lot of trying to wrap our heads around what had happened and what the aftermath could be. We, even on the second, we didn't know if there were additional planted explosive devices. So that was a terrifying time. Fast forward to today, I think that residents and businesses are trying to get back in action. You know, we've been through an epic snowstorm, a Super Bowl. We've been through Mardi Gras. We're looking for a little normal day-to-day, but going into festival season, hoping that we are going to get the level of business, especially to our small businesses in the French Quarter. And, of course, we're getting some nice weather now. So it's pretty nice in the French Quarter right now, but you can definitely still see the evidence of the terrorist attack from the first.
I appreciate your time. I really do, Jamie, and I hope you, Aaron, and I hope you come back and talk to us after the report comes out, and we'll see where we stand.
I'd be happy to.
Thank you. Aaron Holmes, Executive Director of the View Cray Property Owners, Residents, and Associates. Speaking of Jamie, we'll talk to Jamie Rowan when we come back about President Trump's executive orders. Right now, time for WWL First News.